This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. It is sort of, kind of, the eve of Parliament's long-awaited special sitting, so we'll be looking ahead to what it might hold.
But first, we'll be recapping how we got here and what political possibilities the sitting holds. And then, with emergency ordinances being one of the only confirmed items on the agenda, we'll take stock of what's been issued this year. Finally, we hear from an MP about finally setting foot in Dewan Rakyat.
So tell us, are you looking forward to Parliament reconvening? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and guys, it is finally happening. Parliament is going to be sitting for 5 days, starting from next Monday, with a break on the Friday, and then convening for its final day on the following Monday. And this is after it essentially has been suspended for pretty much all of this year. This happened, of course, after Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced a state of emergency on the 12th of January, which is set to end on August 1st.
So, lest we forget, that emergency allowed the government to suspend Parliament and also to enact laws without having to get legislative approval. Another facet of the emergency was, of course, that snap elections would not be held during that period. Now, coming sort of closer to present day, on the 15th of June, in an announcement during the unveiling of the National Recovery Plan, the Prime Minister did say that government would reconvene Parliament only in phase three of that recovery plan. That would be, of course, when our numbers dropped to below 2,000 a day, which was set to be around September or October. That was sort of the start of, I think that got the ball rolling to present day.
Yes, because essentially right after that, the Yang di-Pertuan Agong made a call for Parliament to reopen after a special meeting of the Council of Rulers. And then he also went on to reiterate that call after the Prime Minister responded and said, yes, it will reopen soon, but went back to that idea of phase three. So as a response to all this, and also I think to a tremendous amount of pressure on all fronts, because in almost any interview, any article, anything at all with MPs across the political divide, there would be the repeated call, Parliament must reopen, Parliament can safely reopen. As MPs, we have now been vaccinated for months, it can open. So the Prime Minister then said Parliament will reconvene for the 5 days, as mentioned, kicking off this coming Monday. And has said that the purpose of it is to present a national recovery plan to MPs and to amend necessary laws and rules to allow for Parliament's proceedings to be held in a hybrid manner. So this, of course, has not gone that far towards allaying fears that it isn't going to really be Parliament as usual, because if it's only going to talk about these two things, A, there is no mention of I guess talking about the government itself and addressing some of the instabilities that have been swirling around. But also there were worries about whether it would be purely a presentation or a briefing, whether or not there would be the kinds of discussions, debates and questions that characterize a sitting of Parliament.
And we've seen since then, you know, multiple calls for things that should be focused on during the sitting, right? Here's what we know so far. So according to de facto Law Minister Dato' Sri Taqiyuddin Hassan, he said last week that MPs will be allowed to debate during the five-day sitting. He also said that essentially the sitting has three main things on the agenda. One is the tabling of the Proclamation of Emergency 2021. Also the proclamations of emergency relating specifically to the Gre and Bugaya by-elections. And he also said that it would be a briefing session by ministers on the emergency and COVID-19. So there's a theme here for sure. All we know for sure is that the emergency is on the agenda, but not a lot of clarity on what else.
So I also wanted to call everyone's attention to the briefing session, because that is actually a term that has since been really scrutinized and gone back and forth on. Because, of course, briefing is the word that some opposition MPs have been using in a slightly disparaging manner, right? Saying that a briefing is something, you know, that meme, this could be an email.
Or a PDF.
Or a PDF, exactly. So that's been one response. But others, for example, from the government themselves, have been to say that no, briefing is to say that we'll be talking about it, but it's also going to be it's actually a discussion. You will be able to debate. You will be able to ask questions. So even the definition of what a briefing session means is still kind of up for grabs. You are also, or rather we are all also still seeing, different sorts of committees, different parties saying, we would like this to be talked about. We would like to talk about education. We want to talk about specific things that have been put on the back burner this whole time. Whether that will be included is, still anybody's guess. So we want to know, are you looking forward to Parliament reconvening, and what are you hoping will be discussed? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking with Badrul Hisham Ismail, Director of Programs at Iman Research. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is coming along to 6:15, and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about Parliament. Going to have a special sitting that is kicking off next Monday, and this is after it being suspended for really most of this year. So we want to know, are you looking forward to Parliament reconvening, and what are you hoping to see discussed? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now, we have Badrul Hisham Ismail, Director of Programs at Iman Research. Badrul, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you for inviting.
So could you give us a rundown of what has led up to the special sitting of Parliament? Because it's been quite a lot.
Well, basically, it all started in January when the government declared the emergency, which sort of suspended the parliament. And since then, there's been a lot of pressure from all sides, from the opposition MPs themselves, a lot from the activists, and latest, I would say, slightly more than a month ago, was from the palace itself that pressured the government to sort of at least have the parliament to reconvene, and which has basically led to the government finally announcing that they are going to have this special sitting of parliament, which is still separate from the next session of parliament, which will be in September. So this is a special 5-day sitting that is independent of the regular sessions that they normally have.
So political observers are saying that the brief reopening is really to allay some of the pressure from the monarchy. Does this reopening fulfill the wishes that were expressed by the Agung and the Conference of Rulers?
Well, the only clear wish that was mentioned was that they hope that the current government will be able to deal with the COVID crisis, and saying that there is no reason to extend the emergency and that the parliament should reconvene immediately. There's nothing else that is specified in their announcement other than that, nothing specific that they want to come out of the reconvening of our parliament, which is basically pretty much vague. What they say is basically give room for all the MPs to be in the same room and to discuss the matter and to come up with a solution, hopefully, but without really saying what are the specific solutions that they are expecting.
Now, the government's majority is something that hangs like a question mark, I think, over everything. Could you talk to us about some of the political maneuverings that have been happening as Parliament is all set to begin?
Well, over the months, we've seen sort of a passive-aggressive behaviour from UMNO towards the current government. One leader is saying this, another leader is saying that. They aren't sure which one should be the official decision of the party. And at the same time, of course, the PN government has been doing a lot of moves to at least keep the UMNO MPs that are in the cabinet to ensure that the cabinet doesn't break, to ensure that the current government doesn't break, and basically just to stop any sort of coup attempt from any different sides of UMNO from materializing, which has been quite effective. You know, they've the government have surprised us with a lot of announcement. Recent one is announcing the DPM, which nobody sort of thought about before. And those are the kind of maneuvering. It's basically been between PN and UMNO, while PH has been totally out of the picture, which sort of shows the low level of bargaining power that they have right now.
Meanwhile, we are just about a week or so away from the emergency's expiry date. Do you foresee it being extended? What are some of the consequences of either it being extended or not?
Well, whether or not the emergency is extended, we are in the midst of a full-blown health crisis, which emerged within the emergency period, which sort of put us in a really kind of weird situation. And at the same time, the government still struggles to find a way to keep a lid on the rise of cases. Today, we have 15,000 new cases, more than 15,000 new cases. This is, months under emergency. But of course, the government would like to extend the emergency because it gives them room to do whatever they want, whether they're doing anything or not. But it gives them room. They're not being bothered, so to speak. But whether they're able to extend it or not, we shall see. They have surprised us before. We didn't even expect that the emergency would happen. It did happen. So it's really, we can sort of speculate and be skeptical whether anything good will happen if the emergency is not extended. So yeah, we're in a weird situation right now that we don't know.
No, I understand. I think a weird situation just about sums it up. And, yes. You know, we have also been hearing that the session is for sure going to cover the emergency ordinances, hybrid parliament. But do we have any clear idea of what the agenda is actually going to look like? I mean, has this been solidified? Because we are still seeing people sort of almost petitioning the government to include different elements.
Well, the special sitting is only for 5 days. So it seems that it's going to be pretty much just another briefing session. There's a lot of, credit to being skeptical at this point because there's so much that you can debate in 5 days. And we also have to understand that PN does not want this sitting to happen if it's entirely up to them. They would prefer to extend the emergency to continue to suspend the parliament as long as they can. But at the same time, they're afraid of the anger that they're getting from all sides, from the public, from the they don't really care much about the oppositions. I don't know whether they care that much about the public or not, but it seems that they care about what the palace said. So this is really them doing the minimum that they need to do, listen to everybody's wishes. It's just like if a parent asks their child to clean their room and all the child did was just, make the bed. And then they say, oh, we cleaned the room. But in fact, they haven't really cleaned the room. So this is basically what PN is doing right now.
So in that case, what are you expecting from government MPs next week?
Well, what can they offer at this point? They've proven that they have not been able to offer anything new, any solid ideas. They had full reins in January, which is almost 7 months already. But the number of cases rise, number of deaths rises, and we still don't know what they plan for the aftermath of the long lockdown period on the economy, on the livelihood. The phase that they shared with us lasts until December, but the crisis that we're going to be dealing with is going to be longer than that, the economy crisis specifically. So I don't expect anything new from them, even with the parliament sitting.
What about from the opposition, perhaps?
Well, they also haven't really offered anything good either. They've been trying to be vocal in condemning the current government, which any opposition should do. But they really haven't really come up with anything, an alternative approach, for example. There's a lot of one or two ideas here, but then we can give them benefit of the doubt. They are not in, you know, a position of power. You know, they have limited resources and limited, ways and room to offer anything. But compared to what they've said, they really haven't offered anything yet. But still, you know, they might still be able to offer something.
So with that said then, who are perhaps some of the players that we might want to pay attention to during the special sitting?
Well, we still have to pay attention to the ministers doing the briefing. Unfortunately, I doubt there'll be any strong Q&A session or a debate. But we still have to be, you know, pay attention to that. And we still need to put pressures on our MPs to pressure the minister and the cabinet to give the answers that we need, the answers that we've been asking regarding the process of the recovery, the status of the crisis, the vaccination plan, the economic recovery plan, and so forth. And that's the only thing that we can do, unfortunately.
Badrul, I know you've already said that given the time and the structure of the sitting, it doesn't look like a lot is going to get done, but will this meeting resolve anything or achieve anything meaningful?
Well, if I were to play with my cynical side, it will be a confirmation of how clueless the current administration is. Given the platform, they might still be unable to answer a lot of questions that we have. Either they are unable or they are unwilling. And probably that's the most meaningful thing we can get out of this.
And is there anything in here for the rakyat?
Unfortunately, no. With the current five-day briefing agenda, I don't think we'll get anything much. We'll get a much-needed distraction, probably, that we have something to look at. But in terms of meaningful, significant and substantive outcome, I don't think we'll get in 5 days of sitting.
So a lot of people have been talking about that lack of majority that Perikatan has, right? Could a vote of no confidence actually happen?
That really is in the hands of the opposition MPs or anyone in UMNO, because they do have the space now to, you know, whether they will be stopped by the speaker or not. But then, you know, at least they're in the ring, so to speak. But even if that does happen, it still remains inconclusive whether, because we still don't know what are the agenda of the opposition right now. And unfortunately, no one from the oppositions have the confidence to lead. No one has actually offered themselves other than Mahathir. We don't see any strong stance from Pakatan Harapan, from their president. We don't see anything from other opposition parties, Warisan, or even from UMNO themselves. They just say that they are not supporting Muhyiddin, but no, they haven't really put any name that the party is behind.
And Badrul, do you have any final thoughts to leave us with ahead of the five-day sitting?
I still hope that we will get a clear idea of whether the government has a good plan or not, which is the best thing that we can get out of the five-day sitting. It's an opportunity for us to hear from themselves whether they are confident with their plan or not. Because, you know, sending a PDF of your plan and actually saying it, you know, you can, hopefully you can tell whether they are, you know, there's any meat to it. But I would say the struggle continues after that. We still need to continue to play our part as citizen in this democracy to, you know, put pressure where it needs to be and, you know, demand answers and solutions from people who should give us those things.
Badrul, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Badrul Hisham Ismail, Director of Programs at Iman Research, talking to us really about what we can expect from the upcoming sitting, as well as the circumstances that led to the sitting happening in the first place. So with that said, we want to know, are you looking forward to a parliament of sorts reconvening? And what would you like to see discussed? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some messages. I wanted to start with this one from MZ, who says, I find it ironic that the whole concept of Malaysia as a nation is a democracy, and that's not what we're seeing now. Parliament is just wayang. It's a matter of time before, you know, something happens, and, you know, like, I guess before people change their minds about what's going on.
Lose their patience, perhaps. I don't know. But you know, this wayang theme is coming through very strongly in the messages. We have this from Munif, who says, I finished all the Marvel stuff on Disney Plus. Everything is in repetition mode on Netflix. We still can't go out jalan-jalan. Of course, Parliament returning is awesome. Circus is back in town, baby. Entertain me.
Munif, we are going to do Popit Popit Parliament every day at 5. Look at me just shilling ourselves, but we are going to be covering Parliament every day.
We are here for the circus.
Correct. We are here for, we will edit the circus for you. But I think that actually that spirit, if I were a politician, would frighten me. Knowing that we are looking at a rather bored and frustrated electorate who have been sitting around waiting for Parliament to reopen, knowing what's in store, I'd be kind of frightened by that. But let us know. Parliament is reconvening. Are you looking forward to it? What are you hoping they'll discuss? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and keep it here on Inside Story BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Shamila. We are spending today looking ahead to next week's 5-day parliamentary special sitting, I think is what we're supposed to call it. So that is what we're looking at. And I think earlier we examined how it is that we got there and essentially what the political ramifications of it might be. Now, what we do know is that it is going to include a discussion on the emergency ordinances. And that's why we wanted to focus on that now. In the meantime, though, let us know what you think. Are you looking forward to Parliament reconvening? What would you like to see discussed? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us to talk about the emergency ordinances themselves, we have Tricia Yeo, CEO of IDEAS. Tricia, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me, Lynn.
So our guest earlier, we spoke with Badrul Hisham Ismail from Iman, actually said that he's not optimistic that there will be anything too substantive from this sitting. So before we get into the emergency ordinances, I thought we could just get your thoughts on that.
Sure. So I think everyone's waiting with, well, some people at least, waiting with bated breath as to what's going to happen on Monday. As you say, there'll be this 5-day special sitting. Because it's not clear what is required of the government to do, because all we know is that these merely need to be, in inverted commas, laid out before Parliament. So what laid out can mean is that these documents are simply laid out and placed on the table. So it could just be nothing more beyond that. However, what we're hoping to hear at least is that the members of Parliament will be given some opportunity to debate these things that are laid out, as to whether or not they will be given the opportunity to vote on any sort of motion on any of these documents. I think that would be highly unlikely, given the situation where we're at now, where the government would probably not want to have any opportunity given to the members of the House to display any sort of dissatisfaction against the government. So I would bet my bottom dollar that there will be no opportunities to vote, perhaps at most to debate, to present some semblance of parliamentary sitting.
Now, what we do know, of course, is that the emergency ordinances will be discussed. That's one of the things that they've been very clear about. Could you help us revisit some of those key emergency ordinances that were gazetted this year?
Sure. So this year, if we all remember, the emergency was the first ordinance was put into place, which essentially sets out the entire mandate of the emergency throughout the period. So it started on the 14th of January. Since then, there have been six other ordinances, so seven in total. And these ordinances spell out what the government can and cannot do during the period of the emergency. I would say that the key ones were, number one, the main one on the 14th of January, which essentially secures the current government into place. So it says that the current coalition at the federal and also at all the state government levels, these are the governments that will not change throughout the emergency period. So that is set in place. It also meant that the possibility of any general election to be held was suspended. So this means nothing remotely possible about coming into elections that's suspended throughout the period. The other main one that I would like to highlight would be the one that was issued on the 11th of March, which is the Emergency Essential Powers Number 2 Ordinance 2021. Why this is important is because it actually spells out what fake news is to be considered during this period. And I also want to point out very importantly that Article 157 of the Federal Constitution actually says that these ordinances, unless otherwise stated within the ordinance itself, would actually apply and be in force for a six-month period post the emergency period. And there are some clauses in some of the ordinances that I will talk about later, which apply only throughout the period of the emergency, but the fake news ordinance is not one of them. Meaning to say that unless otherwise stated, this ordinance on the fake news will continue to apply 6 months after the 1st of August, which is when the emergency ends. This is dangerous, and this is something that the civil society organizations, the public at large, really need to be aware of. Because, I mean, if you look at the wording of the ordinance, it's very wide-ranging what fake news would be. So anything that causes fear or alarm to the public, creates, offers, publishes, prints, distributes, circulates, or disseminates any fake news or publication containing the fake news will be considered an offense. And so these sorts of legislation are intentionally worded in such a way that it's very wide and it can capture a very wide net and very arbitrarily determine is what it means. The third one that I think is important for us to be aware of is the 21st April 2021 one, called the Emergency National Trust Fund Amendment Ordinance 2021. And this was, if you recall, the ordinance that allowed for the government to withdraw from the National Trust Fund, the Kumpulan Wang Amanah Negara, which I believe I came on BFM to talk about as well. So yes, what we know is that the initial proposal was that I think about 30% of the fund would be used. And we know now what the funds have been used for. It's for vaccinations and for the entire vaccination program. So those are the things that would... So those are the seven ordinances that have been issued this year since the 14th of January. I've mentioned the three important ones. And I can talk a little bit more about some of the other elements if you would like as well. So, for example, the main 14th January one also gave additional powers to the armed forces. It also allowed the government to demand for additional use of resources, including land and buildings, human resources. It would also allow the government to exercise control over private hospitals, for instance. It formed this independent special committee to advise the YDPA, the Agong, on the emergency. And finally, there was another amendment which allowed the Prime Minister and Menteri Besar to withdraw from federal funds or consolidated state funds arbitrarily. But this is one of those clauses that actually expires once the emergency ends. So in a way, we're not too concerned about that because once the 1st of August is over, then it's over. However, it's still important to have these ordinances tabled, debated, and ideally voted on.
So what would a debate about the ordinances after the fact look like? What would be the purpose of that? Because, of course, as you point out, over the last months, you know, whether it's April or January and the like, they've already been there. And now we're talking about it in July.
So this is sort of like in retrospective, what happens if there was an opportunity, say, for a large number of members of parliament to reject it. Then, yeah, I think that that would be unprecedented. And this is also why, in all likelihood, there will not be opportunities for the House to reject it. Having said that, I believe there already have been several members of parliament from the opposition that have put in motions to repeal the emergency ordinances. Whether or not these motions will be accepted, of course, is entirely subject to the Speaker's discretion. We've seen this previously. I think in the previous time that the House met, the Speaker stated that his legal opinion was that government's business comes first, and therefore any of the motions that, were put in by the members of Parliament from the opposition were not to be accepted. Of course, there are differing legal opinions as to this matter. The former Speaker of the House, Tan Sri Arif, takes a different view, and his view is that if the motions are properly submitted, there is nothing to actually stop the Speaker from receiving these. So this is a differing point of legal opinion, I would say, and it really ultimately is quite dependent on what the Speaker wants to do.
So what are the possible outcomes from the parliamentary debates next week? And will they actually have an effect on these ordinances?
I highly doubt that there will be any effect. One possibility is that if the government were to try and soften the language used in some of the ordinances, amend or even repeal certain sections of the ordinances that they feel are going to be entirely unacceptable to the opposition, bearing in mind also that the current government does have a very slim majority, and I'm putting it mildly there. And with that in mind, what kinds of concessions they may want to make to obtain opposition support. So one of the things that they did put as a concession was to get to give out rather equal allocations for the bako makanan, right? The food baskets in response to COVID-19. So that was something that IDEAS responded to positively. We said that this is unprecedented. You should do this for all constituency development fund allocations. So with that in mind, whether or not they will preempt some of this and make some of the amendments to soften language, I don't know. That really, you know, is ultimately at the Attorney General's discretion as well as the government. So there's no real, I don't think in basically what we're going to see is whatever the government tables, whatever version of the ordinances are tabled next week, that will be the ordinances that we will see. But I think more importantly, you know, going beyond what the ordinances are that we will see tabled in Parliament or laid out, right, like laid before Parliament, we also want to see whether the reopening of Parliament will allow Parliament to function more professionally. And what does that mean? So not just are we calling for the reconvening of Parliament, but we have to ensure that the parliamentary select committees are meeting meaningfully. We have a health parliamentary select committee that is absolutely required right now to address the COVID-19 situation. It is one of the few PSCs that is headed by a member of the opposition, YB Dr. Kelvin Yee. Other select committees, like, we have 9 in total. You know, I do hope and I highly encourage, and I think this position has been shared by many as well, that the parliamentary select committees, if they are functioning properly, in fact, they can even go online, right? They can go hybrid. They can do what we're doing now, a meeting over Zoom, and they don't have to physically convene if this is unnecessarily inconvenient for themselves, if they're flying from, say, East Malaysia, or for their aides, for that matter. So if the parliamentary select committees are meeting regularly, this can really act as a parallel, not parallel government, but the way other Commonwealth countries do it is that the real work actually happens in the committees. The scrutinizing of budgets, the calling in of representatives. This is where you can really get your whole of society approach that government keeps talking about. Calling in civil society representatives, doing hearings, doing presentations, going through the data. I mean, it is a lot of hard work, but this is where the scrutinizing takes place because Parliament doesn't fit enough days in the year. So let the committee do some of the work and then table it in Parliament. And all of this ideally should also be transparently made known, records of which, minutes of which are published online.
Tricia, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much. Good evening.
That was Tricia Yeo, CEO of IDEAS, speaking to us about the various emergency ordinances that have been gazetted and what we can expect in some ways from Parliament next week. After this, we'll be speaking with an MP, Teo Ni Ching, MP for Kulai. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is coming along to 6:53 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And we've been talking about the upcoming 5-day sitting of special sitting of Parliament. And now we're crossing over to hear from an MP. We'll be speaking with Teo Ni Ching, MP for Kulai, as well as the former Deputy Minister of Education. Ni Ching, thank you so much for speaking with us. Can you hear us?
Hi, good evening. Sorry, good evening. I need to change location to make sure the line is stable.
No problem. That's just a Zoom thing. So we're talking about Parliament, of course. Can you walk us through what to expect next Monday?
I think this coming 5 days, starting from Mondays, it will be a 5-day special sittings. We don't have Agong speech as the usual items or first item of the year, but we have 5-day sitting from Monday to Thursday, and then continue the next week. We start on Monday as well. I think Finance Ministry will be giving us a briefing. So far, we still don't have the exact schedule. We don't know how long the briefing will be. We don't know if MPs are allowed to debate on the briefing, whether there's any vote will take place, which I doubt if there will be. So basically, and previously there was some debate that whether numbers of MP who are allowed to physically attend the meeting, there was some question mark. However, until today, we also haven't received any confirmation. So I assume that all the MPs are allowed to attend the meeting physically. And this morning, I believe most of the MP or all MP have gone to the Parliament to have our COVID-19 screening as well, just to ensure that everybody is safe, is in perfect health to attend the meeting on this coming Monday.
And how have you prepared for the sitting and the motions that will be brought up?
Okay, we don't know whether the motion will be allowed to be debated. That is a key problem. Yes, I think my colleague, MP from Baros, he submitted some motion, but we don't know whether the motion will be allowed to be debated because usually motion from the opposition MP is unlikely to see the sunlight because, again, government agenda will be put as the priority. But because now it's special sittings, only 5 days and only one ministry per day. So it looks like we should have plenty of time. But however, whether the speaker would allow it, I still have a very, very big question mark. Personally, to me, I'm very disappointed because Ministry of Education is not included, it's not listed for this 5-day sitting. Because I think education is the most important issue, even when this is COVID-19 pandemic, I still think education is very, very important. We have about 7 million students from kindergarten until university. And not to talk about the students only, not to talk about the teachers, the lecturers, the professors, and also the parents involved, all the stakeholders. And 20%, 21% of our federal budget goes to education. However, we don't have any chance to debate on the education policy or the approach taken by the Ministry of Education for this coming Parliament special sitting. Having said that, I still think there are a lot of things that we can, if we are being given a room, a free hand to debate and to discuss, I still think there are a lot of things that we can talk about, especially our approach to handle COVID-19 pandemic, where is the mass testing, are we using the right approach, and also the so-called full MCO, EMCO, and non-stop MCOs, because it looks like the current approach is not working, because having been put under MCO for more than a month, but we still see 15,000 cases today, I think it's very obvious that whatever approach or whatever policy in place now is not functioning, is not achieving our target.
So we have just about a couple of minutes left with you. And I wanted to know, given the opportunity to speak, what specifically would you like to bring up?
Okay, first of all, I would like to question, where is the mass testing promised by the Ministry of Health? Because before we enter full MCO on 1st of June, the DG of Health on 30th of May, he actually said that Ministry of Health would be using 2 weeks lockdown to do more targeted testing. Of course, the 2 weeks actually eventually is extended into 4 weeks. However, we did not see more testing. In fact, the number of screening that we conducted in the month of June, where we have the full lockdown, is lesser than May. Which, so to me, is, I was very surprised. How could that be the case? Because isn't that we are supposed to use the full lockdown period to do more testing? So I think Ministry of Health need to tell us why mass testing was not taken place during the full lockdown. And other than that, we also need to know what are the directions of this country to handle this COVID-19 pandemic. Because by classifying the industry by essential and non-essential, I think this approach doesn't work. Yes, I think perhaps it gives the essential industry a way to actually continue to operate and to survive. But however, this approach doesn't bring down the cases until today. Until today, it still doesn't bring down the cases. So I think we need to have a new approach. We need to have a risk assessment approach to decide which industry or which restaurant or SME are allowed to operate and which are not. Because the current approach obviously is not going to help us to bring down the cases. While I agree that we cannot just look at the numbers of new cases, because I think by having more and more people getting vaccine, I think we should be able to see less people in ICU, less people need to rely on ventilator. But however, I think the way Ministry of Health reporting the cases now, again, can be improved. And these are the things that we hope the government can sit down with us and listening to us. Perhaps our understanding is wrong. Then they are free to correct us as well. But I think this two-way communication is very, very important. We need to have an all-society approach where we deal with this pandemic.
Li Qing, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me. Have a nice day.
You too. That was Teo Ni Ching, MP for Kulai and former Deputy Minister of Education, talking to us about what to expect when Parliament reconvenes, which has been the subject of our Inside Story today. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.